Welcome to the Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, where we're going to talk just about something I think men need to think about. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have a full line of trapping supplies. They have a full line of deer stuff. They have a full line of predator calls. They have stuff for bear and hog and catfish and line and hooks. And if you're just an outdoorsman, you want to check out Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're really good people. They're really honest people, and they do you right, which is something I think that most people are looking for today. So Funky Trap Tags and Supplies sponsors Man Strong Podcast. If you're an outdoorsman, you like to listen to this show, you at least owe them to go look at their website, and you'll see the prices, you'll see everything that they have. And once you start working with them, it's going to be somebody you're going to be glad that you've been working with from here on out. Now, I haven't really been watching the news very much, but every now and then I get some things sent to me, and I was thinking, you know, I want to play something because it's put in such a way that I think men should think about it. I'm really curious. You know, when you look at Portland and Seattle, I'm assuming there's no men left in those states. Do they just let teenagers run the world out there? I don't really get it. When you look at what's going on in Michigan with their governor, when you look at New York and you look at LA and you look at these bigger cities and the shootings are going through the roof and they're talking about defunding police and all of that, it made me just think about history. Being in the military, you study, if you're going to be a good soldier, one of the things is you study military history and how do things become the way that they are. Now, the Middle East is very different from this because it's the Middle East and it's, you know, it's extreme Muslims that they want to have Sharia law, all that. But when you get away from the Middle East and you look at countries that blow your mind, how did things happen? How did Germany become the Nazis? How did Mao do what he did in China? How did Russia become Russia? How did Venezuela become Venezuela? Now, the reason I think this is important, because as men, you have to be able to look at the world around you, and you have to, in my opinion, be able to see through all of the advertisement, the media, the smoke screens, and you have to be able to think. Because if we don't think, everybody will be shocked, because we'll wake up just like Germany, just like Venezuela, just like everything that happened in Mao, and just like Russia. And you can go, that would never happen here. And I'm willing to bet we're closer to it than most people think. See, I've been thinking recently, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've heard liberals say this, and I've heard crazy Antifa people say this, and I've heard politicians say this, and I've had people I've just met on the street say stuff, and it's easier just to roll your eyes and back away and go, what an idiot. How stupid or moronic can these people be? But see, I think that's actually been a mistake. I think that is not a masculine way to handle this situation, because if it would have been handled when it started, it wouldn't have got to where it is today, where murder rates are going through the roofs, why Democratic governors and mayors are trying to defund the police. That is such a wild thing to even consider. People taking over city blocks in the United States of America and changing the names and then murdering people and beating people up and setting up their walls and having armed forces. And then we see some black groups that are dressed all in black walking around threatening, calling out rednecks to come meet them in battle. I mean, where in the world? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we would have thought this was lunacy. But let's look at history. How did Germany become Germany? Russia become Russia? Mao did what he did in China. Venezuela. A lot of the third world countries that are more socialist based. How did this happen? Because if you can talk to a person in an honest conversation where one side's not trying to win the conversation for a team, I can't really imagine too many people that just don't want to be free. See, it's amazing to me, people bitch about slavery, but at the same time, what they're wanting to bring in is socialism and Marxism, which is slavery. I just don't see, I guess it's an ignorance of actually what they're wanting to do. I'm not quite sure. But these other countries, how did it happen? And you will see a consistent, this happened over in some of the Eastern blocs coming out of Russia. This is how Russia has taken over countries, not firing bullets. It's a consistent pattern through history that shows it works to people that think it will never, ever happen to them. First, you start breaking down the family and you try to get the dads out of the home. You take over the education system. You start figuring out ways that people are dependent on the government. You start changing language. Like, what does racist even mean today? Who knows? What's a white supremacist? But by the modern definition of last week, who knows? You start tearing down and deconstructing the history of that country where everybody feels guilty about that country, because that's what deconstruction does. That's actually a theory that's taught in college to kids by Marxist professors, and their whole job is to make everything look bad. That's what you're paying all that money for when you send your kids to college. And you're confused why they act the way they do when they get home. So you take over the education system, you start deconstruction of the history, you start actually changing the history, just like the 1619 Project is, which your kids are probably already being taught in school, where it's showing that we were based on slavery, which is a lie. You don't actually go through the promise of the Constitution and understand the history of why the first draft of the Constitution said something very different from the second draft. And if it wasn't for two states, there would have been no slavery in 1776. But because real world is real world, if you would have had two states, it would have stayed out of the United States. That means Britain would have been on our shores, and the government and the founding fathers knew they couldn't do that. So they thought they could put this in here where people would be able to see where all men are created equal. Martin Luther King actually used the phrase, "We're here to cash the promissory note of all men are created equal." But that's not the way things are taught. You have to destroy that history. Now, the difference in America and all these other countries, if you study history, is class is what has set the fires in these other countries. After you did the education, after you destroyed the family, after you took away guns, after all these things we've said, it's been class. Poor versus rich. Well, that's never flew in America, because our poor is richer than most people's upper middle class around the world. The Marxist and socialist could never get that to actually play out to get the revolutions they wanted back in the 60s and 70s. So what did they do? They figured out in America through deconstruction that they could now classify everybody in different groups, not class, but race, religion, anti-religion, sex, gay, Native American, black, white, Mexican, Oriental. So the only thing that's really changed in America in this formula that's flipped these other countries. Because if you've ever met German people, they're some of the most intelligent people you'll ever meet. How did they fall for Hitler? By that formula I just told you. How did Chechnya become what it is today? By that formula I just told you. How did Venezuela become Venezuela? By that formula I just told you. How did Mao get away with what he did in China? Was that formula that I just gave you. It's pretty simple. You basically tear down everything that anybody finds important. You make them guilty of something. You make them shameful. You destroy the family so the young people go out of control without parenting. Sound familiar? You teach them how evil their country is. You get them dependent on checks, welfare, free birth control. And lo and behold, instead of class, you bring up race. And everything we've been seeing here lately is highly orchestrated, just like it was in Germany, Russia, from Mao, Chechnya, and Venezuela. Highly orchestrated. There were printed signs at the first George Floyd protest by Black Lives Matter. Within minutes. How did they get printed? See, people are thinking this is like organic. No, this was the fuse that the socialists and Marxists were waiting for. They didn't know what it would be. They didn't know there was going to be a gift of COVID-19 and all the fear that goes along with that to make people more anxious, for the fuse to be hit even and harder. Because if you don't think it's orchestrated, explain to me why all of a sudden you have European countries rioting over something that happened in Minnesota. It's never happened before. Highly orchestrated. And I think a part of the reason it got to this point is the silent majority has stayed silent. The silent majority let people say nonsense, let them change their history, let them change the vernacular of the meanings of words. Because if you listen to a liberal on YouTube or something, they don't even speak the same language as an average American anymore. The words don't even mean the same thing. How in the world do you have a conversation with somebody like that? You don't. And then the COVID was like a testing ground that was a blessing for especially Democratic governors and mayors to test out how compliant is the silent majority. I'm not sure how much longer the silent majority is going to be silent. I really don't know. I have a feeling it's going to get uglier before it gets better. Whether Trump wins or Trump loses. But now you've got all these little dictators running around that are mostly Democrats that love telling which businesses can open and which can close. What you must wear when you go into a store. How far away must you be from each other? If you can even leave your home. I heard a phrase several times when I was in the military that I remember when I heard it the first time, it was like, wow, that's dark. But what it is when all hope is lost. Let's see if I make sure I get this right. Hope is lost. Now, I better not say that because I'm going to screw it up. So I'm not even going to attempt that. But basically, the phrase was, when all hope is lost, the shadow of death is now what I cast. Basically, when there's nothing left to hope for, then violence comes. See, in the military, it meant when other countries went past a point and there was no hope, now violence or death, shadow of death, is the one I cast. And that's not what I want to see in America, but I'm almost thinking to the point, I don't know how it's not going to rear its head in some form. People are just shooting cops in cars. Now they're stopping cop cars on the street and shooting them with ARs through the windows. They're killing people on the streets with Trump hats. It's absolutely insanity. And the news always says they're mostly peaceful. Well, mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful. So, if a man rapes a woman and it only takes him 30 minutes to finish, out of a 24-hour day, the rapist was mostly peaceful. There is no mostly peaceful. That's what we hear, and that's what people are repeating. But I want to play something that I think is a very clever way to get you to think about the world that you're living in. Whether you're single, you're a family member, you have kids, you have grandparents you need to think about. Because just keep in mind, what's happening now, there's probably not one single listener right now that 10 years ago would have ever said, oh yeah, that could happen. And if you think that there are, I don't believe you. So just listen to this.
It's just a mask. My version. It's just a mask, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. It's just a vaccine, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. In 4 months, the U.S. has almost transformed into an obedient socialist country. The government dictated what social events were acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay. Church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are, however, dangerous. And most of you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot are
allowed. Sorry, people.
Come on. It's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Use it to buy something from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change. There's a coin shortage. Use your card, unless there is a cash tip jar. In 4 months, they have convinced you to use a traceable card for almost everything. In less than 4 months, governments have closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever because they were fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled fear in the majority of the population of America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and how much toilet paper you buy. And the most dangerous and terrifying part is that people are not afraid of this government who removed their freedom. They're afraid of their neighbors, family and friends, and they hate those who won't comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that people don't question authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just gave up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on. It's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the vaccine. wait until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof of receiving the vaccine. Don't think it's possible? You've already allowed the government to say when you can go outside and when your children can take part in a new digital education. And this was just in the last 100 days, and you followed blindly because you were told to do so. You're kidding yourself if you think this mass behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine or whatever the next step is.
See, their morals, their code. It's a bad joke. Dropped at the first sign of trouble. They're only as good as the world allows them to be. I'll show you. When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Once they have popular control, they have the masses. I'm sure there are many people who know that they should do something, but it's always been easier to ignore it than fight back. We've seen it in other countries throughout the years, but it could never happen here in America, right? They have you without a thought, without a fight. Just about everyone around you and everyone walking the streets right now gave in and went with the herd. They didn't do this because they were afraid, they did it because they were lazy. Being lazy is always easier and is built on compromise. This time, however, is different. Sure, you're comfortable sitting on your couch watching streaming movies, but consider this. Outside your house, almost nothing is happening. There are almost no sports anywhere. The city basketball courts are empty. The park baseball fields are empty. Soccer fields, skateboard parks, volleyball courts. Nothing is being used. And the professionals, the one who gets paid to play these games for a living, they are scrambling for answers. How exactly do you not pack people into a stadium or arena and still make money? No box seats, no concessions, no place to walk up and buy a ticket, a reduced schedule, and if you have an enclosed stadium, you are screwed. You get nothing. Almost every musical group in the world right now is stuck in a studio, working on albums that they can release but can't tour to promote. How does that work? And it goes much further than thousands of fans who aren't allowed into arenas. Every celebrity who has a talk show with a studio audience is on hold, and all of these groups are interconnected. Big budget movies, as you knew them, are currently dead. Not because the studios can't break virus protocols and put film teams together. The movie theaters have been crippled for months. As long as the perceived virus threat exists, they won't be able to open at even half capacity. Oh, and the only way theaters turn a profit is from popcorn and soda, which they can't sell you. Every school from primary to university is currently lost at sea with no compass. No one has a clue how to open their institutions without breaking protocol because their systems were literally designed to pack as many kids into one place as possible. Everything from small classrooms to lunchrooms to gymnasiums were built with the exact opposite of social distancing in mind. How in the hell do you reverse that and educate at the same time without rebuilding all the schools from scratch? You don't. They don't have the money or time. The ideas being floated around now literally turn an average school into a social distance circus. Temperature checks at the door, no changing rooms, eat lunch at your desk, designated bathroom breaks, no sports, no assemblies, no buses, no dances. You come in, you sit down, you shut up, you leave. It all sounds like a dystopian movie, but it isn't. It's very real, and by the way, how do you convince any kid under fourth grade not to be next to other kids? And don't get me started on churches. Almost all of them went down without a word of protest, for the greater good, of course. How did they do it? How did the powers that rule this world accomplish all this and much more? They told you that there was a threat, and you believed them. They first told you that masks were useless. Then, a month later, they said that masks were life-saving. They said that social distancing was critical. If you had a party at your house, they could invoke contact tracing and fine you. But if you were protesting human rights issues in the streets, then you could inhale tear gas and hack up a lung on the people next to you with no penalties. And while you were focusing on masks and people tearing down statues and hoping to God you didn't run out of toilet paper, thousands and thousands of businesses were shutting down for good because they depended on people walking through their doors. And if you're listening to this, you've probably realized that most of those masked people walking the streets now aren't people at all. They are just shadows with what faces, the herd, the sheep who will do just about anything that the media tells them because that's what they were programmed to do. Anyone that is voluntarily wearing a mask at this stage is a mindless drone who couldn't think for themselves if their life depended on it. That is not an exaggeration. You wanted to know who the NPCs are? Now you have your answer. They are all around you. They are the masses, the mob, and they are just a few loud noises away from an all-out purge-like panic. If you understand that, then you need to brace yourself. The levels of this pressure cooker we are currently in are rising, not falling. Things only get stranger from here. There are plans within plans within plans. Pay attention to not only what you see, but what you don't see. There will be more warnings in the months to come, so for now, let me end with this. Figure out who your friends are and who you can trust. Don't make any long-term plans or international trips. Make sure you have extra of everything, and no matter what, don't panic. You are the Awoken, and at the very least, will go into the storm with both eyes open. And while you're at it, get a black t-shirt that says 2020. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Like I said, that was very clever. That was pretty much spot on. It's when you look at it the entirety, because what I'm noticing is people are focusing on one or two things. And the attack that I see our country under is not one or two things. It's multi-pronged. It's highly organized. It's coming at us from every single direction. And it uses the mob and people's fear of someone making fun of them or hollering at them or calling them a name. Now, when we were a kid, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Where did that go? See, I'm asking the men this question. If you consider yourself a man and you're worried about the words, you are a wuss. So I think the best thing that can happen is we need to figure out a way that when the opportunity arises and people are saying all this nonsensical stuff, you don't sit there and roll your eyes. You plant your feet, you look them in the eyes, and you tell them why what they're saying is bullshit. You don't back down. You don't worry about them calling you a racist or a fascist or whatever they're going to come up with, white supremacist, Uncle Tom if you're black, whatever it is. See, because to me, I think one of the biggest things that's going on in our country right now the people that are pushing all of this stuff that's transforming America in the last 4 freaking months is maybe 10% of the population. Out of those, there's probably 1% of the hardcore. But they scream and they shout and they bitch and they threaten. And average people with everyday jobs just trying to get by do not want to get in the fray. Well, I'm here to say to you men, you better figure out how to get in the fray. Because if you don't, you better learn how to say the word comrades. And when your kids ask you what happened in 2020, and you wouldn't even say anything when you heard something at a grocery store, you just need to look your kids in the eye and go, I failed you. I was a pussy. I was scared of words. And now your future is pretty much somebody else's. I don't think that's where we want to go as men, but that's where we're going. Guys, all throughout history, women have been tremendously strong creatures. But sometimes, well, let me say that, almost all the time that things had to get dirty and nasty, that's where men come in. It may not be fair. You know, feminists want to be equal, but that's irrelevant. That's their problem. I'm talking to men. And if you're just going to sit around and let people roll over you in your country, you need to turn in your man card. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. And you're nothing but a female with a penis. If that's the way you're going to be. Because men battle for things that they believe in. Men fight for things that they believe in. Men don't cower in the corner because somebody's going to call them a bad name. Just think about this. So when you see somebody with a Biden shirt, or you see somebody that's saying how Antifa is mostly peaceful, you want to rock these people's worlds? Let a bunch of people start telling them how wrong they are, because their worldview will change very quick, because they think they are the majority and they are not. We surround them and we act like we don't. And if we don't not start acting like we surround them, they're going to own us. They're going to own your money. They're going to own your property. They're going to own your work. And they're going to own your life. And if you think that's an exaggeration, look at a freaking history book with Marxism. Grow a pair, be a man, and don't be a wuss. And y'all have a nice weekend.